Since Hazel had left USRC, she had become more and more ill. She had been told that she was suffering from anemia and pyorrhea. Her doctor, too, suspected Fossey Jaw from the black discharge with its garlic odour exuding from her nose and mouth. Hazel's childhood sweetheart, Theo, was worried sick about her. In Irene's opinion, Hazel's case and hers were just too similar to be discounted as mere coincidence. Carefully, she set out the parallels during a consultation with Dr. Allen at the hospital, trying to make him see that there was something more going on. And as the doctor listened to his patient talk, he'd heard enough. All the evidence suggested that it was an occupational problem. On 26th of December, 1922, Allen reported Irene Rudolph as a case of phosphorus poisoning to the Industrial Hygiene Division and asked them to investigate. The authorities launched straight into action, and within days, an inspector was at the Orange plant looking into the claims of industrial poisoning. The inspector was escorted up to the dial painting studio by Harold Veit, a vice president of USRC who had responsibility for operations. Together, they quietly observed the girls at work. There were not many of them there. Dial painting in Orange had become almost a seasonal occupation, so the girls did not work continuously anymore. Yet the inspector noted with some incredulity the universal practice of lip pointing. This was called to the attention of Mr. Veit, who was quick to address the concerns. Veit told him, the inspector reported, that he has warned the girls time and time again of this dangerous practice, but he could not get them to stop it. Had the dial painters overheard this conversation, they would probably have been stunned. Other than Sabin von Sahotsky's one-off warning to Grace Fryer that lip-pointing would make her sick, not a single other dial painter, including the instructresses and forewomen, ever reported a warning being issued, and certainly not one that included reference to lip-pointing being a dangerous practice. On the contrary, they had received countless assurances of the exact opposite, when the company deigned to concern itself with their work processes, that was. On the whole, the firm left them to get on with their work without interference. It didn't, in truth, really seem to care just how the women dial painted, as long as the material wasn't wasted and the work got done. The inspector continued to observe the girls. One, he noticed, a rather matronly woman who was older than the rest, appeared to be limping as she carried her dials up to the new forelady, Josephine Smith, who had recently been promoted. Miss Rooney would be leaving to join the Luminite Corporation. Sarah Mylifer was limping. She was getting old, she supposed. She was now 33, and you should expect a few more aches and pains as you got older. Plus, it was exhausting being a working mother. She didn't have the energy to keep up with her sister Marguerite, let alone her 11-year-old daughter. She felt blessed that the company was so understanding about her limp. A foreman of the company took her to and from work each day because of this trouble. The inspection concluded with the official taking a paint sample for testing. He sent it to John Roach, the deputy commissioner of the New Jersey Department of Labour, with a recommendation that Roach's team make a survey of this plant as it is outside our jurisdiction. Consequently, an additional inspection took place in the next few weeks, with the inspector, Lillian Erskine, delivering her findings to Roach on 25th of January. Erskine took a rather different approach from the first inspector. As part of her investigation, she spoke with the radium authority and informed Roach that no reports of necrosed bones as a result of radium treatment exist. She therefore concluded, this case, Irene Rudolph, and the reported second case, Hazel Vincent, are probably an accidental coincidence resulting from abscess teeth and incompetent dental surgery.